Today my guest is Mrs. Nancy Redstar. She's a descendant of Middle Eastern and American Indian. She's an author and has appeared on many television documentaries and has been the subject of numerous magazine articles. Mrs. Redstar is the head of Willow Spirit Productions. It's a pleasure to have you here today, Mrs. Redstar.
Thank you very much.
You can call me Ken. May I call you Nancy?
Certainly. My Indian name is Nivya.
Nivya. Okay. We'll call you
Nivya. It's Nivya Jagachi, actually. And that the first family is Red Man on my family genealogy. And they were Cherokee from the Eastern Band. And that translated in the Cherokee language is Nivya Jagachi. So that's a little piece of information.
Okay. Please correct me if I'm wrong, but I understand that one of the things that you do is help people understand their place in the universe by documenting the testimony of indigenous people and their beliefs. Would that be correct?
Yes. What I really try to do is break through the lamestream media's alien agenda. And you know, this is one of the reasons I really did this book, is because I saw the information coming out, and of course it's all part of the prediction of Wernher von Braun, where aliens become terrorists, and it's fabricated. And so it's interesting, if you take the A off of alien, you got lean. It's like they've got a lean on our mind. And so they put out information that is disinformation about our place in the universe and our citizenship in the universe, which involves many other races.
It seems that Native American people are a lot more open to the idea that extraterrestrials may have shaped our past than the rest of us. Do you think that statement is true?
I think there's rogue elements, shall we say, that are able to speak about that. However, in part of this, the Christianization, or I guess we could say it comes straight out of the Vatican and the Jesuits, to bring Indian people into these charismatic Christian religions, we have lost a lot of cultural identity, because that was, if you look at the history of the boarding schools, you can see the kids were taken out of their homes and they grew up in boarding schools, and they were run by priests and nuns.
Right.
As a matter of fact, right now in Canada, they discovered almost 500,000 graves of Indian children that were killed in these residential schools, babies, when they were run by priests and
nuns. Oh, that's terrible. Oh.
Yeah, it's actually, there is a tribunal. There is a indictment of the Queen and the Pope, Ratzinger, representing the Catholic Church for the murders. This is actually crimes against humanity. It was a mass genocide. I mean, we've found thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of mass graves, and there were many witnesses. Interestingly enough, all the witnesses in the case were murdered.
Wow.
So they're all gone now, but their testimony was documented in a film called Unrepentant. And you can watch that film and you can see what happened, but it was mass murders. More than even in the United States, and they found all the grave sites. So there's been forensic teams up there in Canada. Of course, there's been a blackout on this, and that film is worth watching, because the man who found this out was a minister. And when he started uncovering these grave sites, these mass graves, of course, they kicked him out of the church.
Wow.
And so he's gone on in his own. Actually, he has worked with the International Tribunal, Crimes Against Humanity, to bring them to justice for what
he did. Wow, this is the first I've ever heard of this. I'm really surprised.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's actually close to 1 million graves.
Mm.
And the Queen at that time came over there and disappeared with children. And, you know, that's a witness testimony. Those kids were never seen again. So it all goes back to these sacrifices of children through the Church, the Vatican. through the Jesuit order. And the war really against indigenous people in general, third world people, that's really where the war is. That's where the genocide has occurred, primarily against third world people or people who are not of... And when I speak of the white race, I'm not talking about the white tribes, because there are many spiritual people from the white tribes. I'm talking about the white race of ruling economic elite, and I think you know who they are.
Can you tell us about your original creation belief?
Well, you mean each nation has a different...
The Cherokee original creation belief, you know.
Well, that would be impossible to completely go through on a radio show, but I can tell you a couple of things. That our language is Sumerian. It's Arabic. The roots of Cherokee are Arabic. The word Markavian or Makavian is a Sumerian word that means those from another world who came. And, of course, you know, a lot of this information has been withheld because of the sacredness or secretness of it had not been released in public domain. But because of the situation on the planet right now, it's being released by those who can remember. That's why I went around to all the various nations and found elders to interview them about this information, because it wasn't out there. You couldn't find it. And it was very hard to even find in the United States. I had to go down to Central America to, and a lot of it is documented in Star Ancestors in my book. And, you know, you can go through and listen to the creation stories of the Mi'kmaqs, the Cherokee, the Choctaw, the Maya, the Olmecs. You can go back and read about their relationship directly to the Star People, the Diné, the Navajo. On my website, you can link to a film.
Maybe you want to give your website address.
Yeah, my website is nancyredstar.com. And then if you go on to that, you can enter in. And there's a man speaking from, he's Diné. He's a historian for the Navajo and the Anasazi. He'd been passed on the lineage to him because his grandpa went to Washington after the Trail of Tears, where they made a lot of the Navajo people walk, just like they did in the mass walk of the Trail of Tears. His grandpa went back and got that Canyon de Chelly back for the whole nation. And so he is very revered, his family in that nation. And he is a historian for the Navajo and Anasazi. And he goes into speaking just on that website, on that second page. You can listen to him talking about the Wind Talkers and the Holy People. And if you go further and click on, there's a bar with a movie trailer up on top. It says books, documentaries, trailer, etc., library. If you click on trailer, that'll take you to my YouTube page, which has a lot of information on there. And basically, he talks about the creation story and the past history and relationship to what he calls the Holy People, the Star People, the guardians, the little people, the Bigfoot, they all fall within this same interdimensional space and time continuum. And so within the creation stories of the Cherokee, you know, Egypt came out of Salaji. That's what the elders, Cherokee elders, have told me, that because I didn't grow up in the reservation. My family was actually from Kuala Boundary in North Carolina, from Cherokee, but my relatives were kicked out of the Cherokee Nation because they wouldn't become Christian. And then one of my relatives is Bonnie Parker, Bonnie and Clyde.
Oh, really?
Who robbed the banks before they robbed us. Yeah. So that reason was they did that was because the same thing happened at that time that is happening now. The banks are stealing money from the people.
Absolutely.
And so they went out to rob the banks to give to the poor people. But look, they made them out. See, this is my big beef is with the mainstream media. even in the History Channel show that I just came up on last week, myself and Clifford Mahuti from Zuni,
mm-hmm.
They have a gag order on us. So they featured us, and then for 13 seconds, and then they used some of my material in that show without me.
Oh,
things that I had given them about how we used a standing columnar wave back in the Mound period,
mm-hmm.
and with the beads and the antenna were like transistors and receivers. They were like antenna and transistors off of that wave where we could communicate and receive what we needed through the DNA, through the that is our what makes the melanin, the melanin of the brown skin has the 22-strand DNA, not 12.
Are you saying, let me see if I have this right, are you saying that the Native American people had access to electricity? Are we saying that?
Oh, definitely. We could create a standing columnar wave, like an electromagnetic, it almost looked like a standing crystal, you know, with points mm-hmm. on it, like you see in Washington, that Egyptian, what's that thing called?
The obelisk?
Obelisk? Yeah. Okay, it was an obelisk mm-hmm. that we could create through our mind. And then we would dance, and using the feathers and the beads, we were able to receive transmissions off that way, off that standing columnar wave, which was enhanced our, it's being, it's like getting an electromagnetic charge off of the wave, okay?
So what we're saying here is actually that we have lost some power that the ancient people had.
Mm,
is
definitely.
That correct? Because we find that happening all over the earth. We find things that we can no longer do that the ancient people were able to do.
And that was a planned agenda, because you've got to go back to the genetic manipulation that occurred in Egypt. You have to go back to what was created. They're cloning babies now. I mean, it's came out on the news. They're doing experiments where they're cloning babies and they're mixing animals with babies and they're doing a lot of stuff that they shouldn't be doing. We also, if you look at the pictures in Egypt, okay, you'll see there's a reason why the Egyptian woman is standing next to a man with a bird head, because that cloning process took place then. You know, we've been through four worlds, and we're moving right now. We're in that.
Well, when you say four worlds, that sounds like the Hopi people believe that we're in the fourth world now. Am I correct?
We're in the fourth world. We're merging into the fifth world.
And,
okay?
And they believe that when the blue star appears, that is the end of that world.
Well, that's already appeared, because they've uh-huh. taken off their masks at the dances. But each culture has been through these worlds too. It's not just the red man. The white race, the white tribe. Okay, there's a big difference between the white race and the white tribe. The black tribe, the red tribe, the yellow tribe.
Well,
these are all.
Maybe you could explain the difference, because I'm not clear on that.
The white, when we look at the super elite, okay,
uh-huh.
we talk about the bloodlines of the super elite, the Illuminati and all this.
Right, right.
We're talking about a peoples who were created genetically, okay? Not the white tribe, the red tribe, the black tribe, the yellow tribe. We each have our star of origination. We all came from another star. There was a race created, and that race has a 6-strand DNA, okay? They do not have the 22 strands of the original tribes of all the races. They were a created race. And that's why they keep their bloodline the way they do, because what it is they are inferior genetically. If you ever look at the rituals of the Illuminati or, you know, the Masonic rituals and all that, they're very, very, they have no power. They literally, their power lies within their money and weapons. The Hopi call them the two-hearted people.
Uh-huh.
and the one-hearted people are the ones that walk that spiritual path.
Well, a lot of their practices seem to go back to ancient Egypt.
Right, because what they did is they stole all the mystery school teachings that are in the catacombs under the Vatican. That's what they did. And they reenact. Did you know that the first name for the Republican Party were the Red Men?
No, I did not.
Well, they know where we come from. You see, Cherokee language is Arabic. The roots of it are Arabic. The names are Sumerian.
Well, I was going to ask you about that. I was going to ask you if you thought that the Cherokee nation descended from one of the lost tribes of Israel.
Well, if you take the word red man, I mean, if you take the word Adam, okay, Adam and Eve, Adam,
mm-hmm.
In Hebrew, it means red man. So we're looking at Adam, red man, Adam, A-T-O-M, Adams. You have those three words. You have Adam, and then red man, and then atom, particle and wave, atoms. Okay, that ability that we have to particleize a wave and a particle, to time travel. You know, there was an old Indian guy that once told me that he had to keep his moccasins under his pillow at night so he would remember, you know, where he was when he had to go out and travel. The same thing with the Kogi at night, you know, the Kogi up in the Sierra Nevada mountains.
Mm-hmm.
They're in prayer with the mamas, with the Papura, 24 hours a day they're praying for this planet right now. And at night you can see these shooting stars. You can see them literally traveling through space. And the reason why Aleister Crowley, who is the father of Barbara Bush, that is her father.
Uh-huh.
The reason why he wore the pyramid hat, do you ever remember that? You see pictures of him, and he's got, that's where the Illuminati, the triangle of the New World Order came from. That is the pineal gland, okay? When you say the word Lucifer or Satan, Lucifer is the activation of the pineal gland. That's why Adolf Hitler used fluoride in the water, because fluoride in the water coagulates in your pineal gland. So the battle really is a spiritual battle here of ascension or of moving into the next world, where the six-strand DNA people are not able to go. You see, they don't have the capability. And I'm not talking about the white tribe. I'm talking about these specific elite rulers that have ruled through bloodlines. They are not Egyptian. They were created in Egypt.
Uh-huh.
They were created in Egypt.
The Great Flood appears in so many ancient passages. I was wondering if it's referred to by the Native American people in any of their teachings.
Well, the Bible is a code book for the Illuminati. It's not that is not the original Bible. Okay? That's their code book. That's what they created out of the teachings. That is not the original Bible of the original truths. We know that because the original truths, that's exactly what they don't want out. So they created a Bible. That's what they're doing
well,
right
Constant,
now.
Well, Constantine picked the books in the Bible, I believe, in the second century. And he left some out and he included some.
Whatever is in the libraries at the Vatican, okay, there's all the mystery school teachings,
uh-huh.
You know, from Egypt, from Babylon, from everywhere. They have hoarded and held those teachings, and what they fabricated, their ritual, it's almost like ritual paganism, actually, to mimic the original teachings which they stole from these tribal peoples. And the Bible that people read is not, that's what they're doing right now.
Are we talking about the Old Testament or the Old and the New?
I'm talking about everything that has the word Bible on it.
Okay.
That is not the original teachings. That's not the original Bible. That is a code book that they work with. And it has a specific mind control property. They've used that book to control people. Unfortunately, that is not the, you know, there are many mystery school teachings or sacred secret teachings that they have access to that they do not let out to the public. But the problem is that as we're moving into this next world, those shadows can't be kept. They can't be held within the frequency that we're moving in. You know, the way the truth is being revealed now. There's no way that they can keep those secret, because they don't have the power of creation or creator. And so those teachings are all coming out. And so they're doomed. They are really doomed. But what's really important for people is to be able to create what they need to create around themselves to move into that next world. Because you're not going to be going into the next world with an M16 and with violence. That's why they're creating all of these revolutions, this violence. A lot of it is instigated to perpetuate. Look at television. I mean, if you look at television anymore, it's full of demons. It's full of violence. It's full of sexuality. It's become really horrible. And that's all part of that process of continuing to feed off of that fear.
Well, when we talk about the next world, are we talking, I just want to be clear on this, are we talking about reincarnation, or are we talking about a new beginning?
It's a new beginning. So it's the end of one cycle, okay, of a world, of worlds, which we've lived through since the fourth world. We emerged, and then we will emerge in the next world. But the fifth world is going to have a frequency that's never been on this planet before. It's an entirely new...
So we're not talking about the same people though, going into the fourth world. It'll be different people, right? I mean, in other words, we wouldn't be in the fourth world. We wouldn't be in the fifth world. We would only be in this world we're in now, according to the teachings. Am I right, or am I misunderstanding something?
You mean, are you talking about we're going to be on another planet?
No. When there's a new world on Earth, according to your teachings, will some of the people that are here now be in it? Or will they be dead or in heaven? No.
They will be in it, but it will not be ruled by the people who are ruling and who have ruled for the last 2,000
years. So it would be like reincarnation, in other words.
In a sense, reincarnation, but it's not, you're not going to be taking on a new body. But you're going to be taking on, your light body will be activated in a way that you will have the abilities again that we lost.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we had these abilities in the past, and those abilities are coming back to us now. But that's exactly what they're trying to prevent. Because in order to go into the next world, you have to walk that path of peace. You have to be immersed in this energy of light, a light being. And you can't go in there with anger and violence and, you know, all of the things we're seeing occurring. That's why they're pushing that on everybody.
Well, it's interesting you say that, because scientists have said that what is happening is we're evolving faster now than we ever have. So do you think that this ties in maybe with what you're saying about us regaining abilities?
Well, you know, if you look at the Maya and their prophecy about 2012, it really has to do with Venus and the Sun. It really has to do with light emanating from a galactic center. That's really what they're talking about. It's a frequency of light that's emanating from a galactic center that is bringing in, because that's what we are. We are consciousness. Everything around us is consciousness. Everything is within that being elevated up. And that's why we're being dragged down by those that have controlled the planet for so long.
Mm-hmm.
And so
yes, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I didn't mean to cut you off.
I know it's pretty far out stuff, but actually it makes a lot of sense, because the world the way it is now cannot continue.
Well, that's for sure. Yes, I agree with you there.
You know, mm-hmm. when you have people in China, you know, making soup with fetuses and eating for virility, we've reached that cannibalism. And when you also think about it, when they talk about aliens, well, I don't use that word. We don't call our relatives aliens. But why would they, at the state of the planet is now, why would they want to come here? I mean, who are the aliens? So, you know, we're being upgraded. Our DNA is being reactivated, all the strands. That's what this whole cycle is about. And then we will be the people who will make it into the next world, because not everybody will be able to build the next world, which is going to be completely different than anything that's ever been here before.
Mm-hmm.
The more evolved.
Petroglyphs, those old carvings on stone have always fascinated me, but sometimes it's very hard to tell what a petroglyph refers to. Are there any petroglyphs that you believe show that extraterrestrials were seen by Native Americans?
Oh, well, there are some really clear petroglyphs with extraterrestrial, even craft on them. There's one in New Mexico here, down south of Santa Fe, that has an actual craft. Now, somebody said that was actually a new petroglyph, but I've seen, somebody may have put that on, but I've seen others. I think they even showed it. Actually, that's one of the good things about that ancient alien show. They had some pretty good petroglyph, camera.
Yeah, I've seen that myself, yes.
Yeah. But yeah. I have on my YouTube site a man who's Olmec.
Mm-hmm.
He's Olmec and German. Actually, he's a Métis. And he lives in Mexico. He did esoteric tour guides of of Palenque and all of the temples. And when I went with him to Palenque, I went into what was called the Teaching University. And they had... You know how the archaeologists do? They dig, they tear the wall. There's layers of walls. So there's hidden teachings in the walls, but they cover them up. You know, they've covered them up. And they had taken the walls off to the first actual glimpse that were on that. And all around the ceiling, in each corner, were pictures of craft, because the Lacandon told me that in the 40s even, the craft would come down and land on the temples, and they would be in communication and actually visitation with the star, mm-hmm. the star peoples, and so you can still see, but they don't. He's the only one that does the tour and tells people, because you look up at it and it's multiple all around the corners. Drawings of craft with landing pod on them. And those are old, mm-hmm. old glimpses.
Well, one of the things that I sort of always resented, I mean, I'm not a Native American, but I always resented the fact that these scientists, archaeologists or whatever, they would go out, make their opinions, they would never talk to any Native American people that were in the area that might have answers, and then they'd come out with their theories, you know?
Well, that was what was so distressing about that aliens in the Old West. I thought it was really, really dishonorable, mm-hmm. and I don't think they can get away with that anymore. They had I think they had three of us. There were four of us they interviewed. But
I saw that show. Yeah.
I mean, you know, they put a gag order on us, and then they had all these white boys talking about what we said and what we think, rather than they didn't allow us to speak. They blacklisted us.
Yeah, I don't like that kind of stuff myself.
It was really, really tacky. And a matter of fact, I don't think they can get away with that kind of thing anymore. We don't need those people to speak. And you see, people want the truth. They don't want to hear the PhDs and these other people interpreting what we said. You know, why not let us speak? Well, they put a gag order on us. You know, we were like window dressing.
Well, believe me, this whole broadcast will go out without being touched. The one we're on now.
Well, they can't get away with that anymore. People aren't going to tolerate it. And, you know, the problem with the History Channel goes back to the same programming that's coming out of Hollywood. The Jesuits are in charge of what comes out of Hollywood. They are the ones that work with the Zionists, you know. They tell them what to do. Because all the religions, Islam, Christianity, even even Judaism is controlled by the Vatican. They have control through the Jesuits. Now, the Jesuits are about a block down their office from the Vatican. And, you know, that's what they've been doing. And so all of those original teachings are going to be coming out. They're coming out now, mm-hmm. and they're going to continue to flourish in the next world.
Well, you see, I've always felt that we're missing a lot of information that the Native Americans have.
Well,
and
they,
I would like to hear some of it, you know.
But we're blacklisted in mainstream media.
Yeah.
You know, you don't see any minority polls, American Indians included. It's interesting that that Barack Obama got one name from the Indian. They gave him the name mm-hmm. Black Eagle. The Crow did, but of course the Crow were always aligned with the United States government. You know, in
uh-huh.
going back in the battles in the Old West, the Black Eagle Trust is what was involved in the 9/11 attack. That trust was at the bottom of the building. The Black Eagle Trust, and there's documentation about what that trust is all about. But we're blacklisted. That's why you don't hear it, because if they ever let Indians on mainstream media, they're going to have to rewrite all the history books. See, because the history books have been, you know, they've used through the educational system. I don't know if you've ever heard of Charlotte Iserby. She's one of the... She's fantastic. You ought to interview her about what they did, what kind of educational system they brought into America. It's Prussian. You know, it's Germanic.
Yeah.
And if you go back and you look at some of the history, some of the exams that third graders had in the 1890s, you would not believe the kind of questions and answers that they were able to give. You wouldn't believe it. I mean, this is something that PhDs get questioned. I mean, so that's why there's so much problems with the education, because they created them not to teach. So that's why Indians can't be on television, because they'd have to rewrite the history books, because we're not getting the correct history of this country.
There's no doubt about that. It goes back much further than this country. I mean, the
mm-hmm.
world history from the very beginning has been tainted. But I would like to ask you this question. What do the Native Americans know about the disappearance of the cliff dwellers in New Mexico, the Anasazi?
I have also a very good interview with a historian of the Anasazi people of how there's a petroglyph,
mm-hmm.
okay, on the wall at Canyon de Chelly, way down there near Antelope House. And what it is it's two concentric circles with a bridge connecting them. So you got the emergent symbol, which is a circle within a circle within a circle, you know, goes all the
uh-huh.
way like infinity. Then you have two lines connecting it to another circle within a circle. So you've got two concentric circles with a bridge connecting them. And what he told me on film was that was the extraterrestrials coming down for the Anasazi.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I mean, we're talking about a guy who's a historian for the Navajo and Anasazi people saying that on camera. And I would tell people to go look that one up. You can find it on my YouTube site. And he explains exactly what that petroglyph means. It's the contact that was made between the Anasazi and the,
Does he say... when they were taken away, what happened to them?
He doesn't say when they were taken away, because it's more pictorial floral mm-hmm. than it is literal. Okay, he doesn't say yes and they left. He does. You can hear what he's saying is yes. Those two worlds were bridged, and mm-hmm. and you can tell that there was something that happened there. He calls them the holy people.
Mm-hmm.
And he explains how they've come and gone. I mean, I don't have all my film up there because it's not finished. I have one
mm-hmm.
more shoot and it'll be done. But, you know, trying to raise the money to get that film finished has been very difficult.
Well,
I
wish
raised
you
quite
luck.
A bit. Well, in these times, I guess...
Give your address for donations. Maybe somebody listening to this might want to donate.
Well, I started a radio show every Thursday night in Canada called Red Man Radio, and it's hosted by... It's Revolution Radio. Red Man Radio is my show on Thursday night at freedomslips.com, and I am going to do a donation for the film there at some point. But, you know, you need a substantial amount of money. I have my film being looked at with a distributor in Los Angeles, and they have finishing funds available. So we'll see what happens with that.
Well, I wish you a lot of luck.
Yeah, I don't know if there's time for us to make any more movies, really, because of the way things are happening. But again, they're using HARP, the HARP program,
yes,
to induce this biblical tribulation. That's what they're doing. They're using that to create this, you know, that's what people are saying. It's Armageddon. It's the end of the world. It's not. We have to go through this till 2020. There's four more Mayan calendars after the 2012, which we are already in it. It started in 1997. We are already in the 2012 cycle. It merely moves into the next cycle in 2012.
Well, let me ask you this. Wait. Do Native Americans know anything about the crash at Roswell that the rest of us don't know?
Well, you know, I mean, that's a really controversial subject, isn't it?
It sure is.
You know, it didn't used to be like 20 years ago. It was pretty much called a cover-up. Now you've got all these other agendas in there whereby it was Nazis, you know. It was a complete scam. But I've interviewed a gentleman who said he was on the removal team. And then also I talked to a group of veterans from one of the Pueblos. See, unfortunately, like in New Mexico, the Pueblos signed a compact with the United States government that they would not talk about UFOs and extraterrestrials.
Oh, I didn't
and
know that.
And I was going to interview a gentleman... and I don't want to say who he is because of that fact, from one of the Pueblos down south, who told me that not only were there UFOs in Vietnam, but he said that he went out to Roswell at the time of the crash. Now, he's a veteran and pretty well respected among Indian people. He runs a veteran group that goes to different feasts here.
Mm-hmm.
And he told me that they went out there. They went out there to investigate it when it happened. And that, because he's an older guy, you know, he's much older. He said that when they went out there, there were two beings up on the hill. And that when they went up there and approached them, they were speaking in Tiwa. They spoke to them in Tiwa, in their language.
Mm-hmm. Were they actually speaking, or did he say it was more like telepathy?
Well, He didn't identify how they spoke, but he told me that the thing that shocked him, he said, was they spoke to us in our Tiwa language.
Mm.
So then when I went to try to interview him on film about it, he had to get permission from the governor of the Pueblo, and the governor of the Pueblo told him, if you do that, I'll see you in jail.
Mm.
Wow. So that's a problem. That's been a real problem, trying to access the information, because, as I said, the Pueblo signed a compact with the government not to talk about it, because the government knows that they have contact.
Are there any objects that you believe have been passed down by extraterrestrials to Native Americans?
Well, yeah, I was telling you about that technology, the columnar wave and the feathers and were transistors and antenna. And then, you know, there are people who, like, for instance, there's many examples, but I could give you an example of the Mi'kmaq. They have what they call little boys. They're rocks.
Uh-huh.
They're little boy rocks, and they have two eyes on them and no mouth, and then a telepathic funnel, actually, at the top of their head. And they said that only special people find these, you know, that can... these are gifted. They can gift thing. For instance, they can gift things and create, have them come. They'll come from the sky, and they'll materialize in your path if you are a person that they are communicating with.
Are you familiar? I don't know if I'm going to pronounce this right, but I'm really going to try very hard. The Hopi chief, Dan Kechenegwa, N-V-E-G-A, he disappeared in 1972 while he was walking to an area where a UFO had been seen. You familiar with that story?
No.
Oh.
What? Tell me.
Well, that's all I know, that he was notified that a UFO had landed in a certain area. When he went out, he disappeared. Nobody ever saw him again.
Well, of course, the inner Earth is inhabited. You know that's what Admiral Byrd was doing up there. He actually flew into the inner Earth 500 miles in. And when he came back, he didn't know, really, it's all green. It's full of vegetation. It's full of life. There's even a sun in the inner Earth. And there are two portal openings at the north and, you know, both poles.
So you believe in the hollow Earth theory?
Well, I know it's true because we've communicated in some. I've had elders from up in Canada talk about some of the beings that are in there that are coming out again in this next world. They had to go in there to escape. And that world is inhabited, and we may be going in there for a period of time. It really depends on how nuclear this situation goes. Because that was always the message also that I received through Star Ancestors with the nuclear
message. What do you think of these ancient ruins that have been found near the Indus River that reflect radioactivity, where they found skeletons that looked like they were victims of a nuclear attack, and they had fallen down like they were attacked instantly?
Mm-hmm.
And there's like five or six of these cities all in that area, these ancient cities. It looks like there was a nuclear war maybe 6,000 years ago.
Well, it's in the Mahabharata. I did
yes.
a chapter in the my book with Dan Salter, who was in the Disclosure Project. And it was from an old, a wonderful, wonderful interview that was done with a guy who is he is the nephew of Winston Churchill. I'm sure you know his name, and I'm looking right here, Desmond Leslie.
No, I don't know.
You haven't? Well, you should go on YouTube.
He gave me too much credit.
If you go on YouTube and you just put in Desmond Leslie, you will find a gentleman who really tried to decipher the Mahabharata, and he went into the old books. I'm trying to find this right here. The nuclear wars that have occurred, because they have occurred before. That is true.
Mm-hmm.
They definitely have occurred before, and that has been, that is what we're supposed to learn, is that in order to evolve, we have to walk away from these weapons of mass destruction. We have to move into another world that's not based on the killing and the wars, because the wars are for profit. You know,
it all
goes back to the money.
Absolutely.
And you know, they don't come here with money, so it's possible that we don't need it. You know, who said we needed money? So he's really amazing, because he found the Rukma Vimana and the Sundara Vimana in the Mahabharata, and he found this literal translation by Chandra Roy, not Flora, just straight literal, and in it he found Desmond Leslie, the nephew of Winston Churchill, he said, and then he read on, and there were things about wars in ancient India, and some of the weaponry they used. They were able to make three-dimensional images of a false army, hologram, and there was a thing called the Brahma weapon, which had the power of the universe and the light of 1,000 suns, which would tell us about the power of the atomic bomb.
Mm-hmm.
And it's said that the survivors rushed and threw off their arms to bathe, but a few days later their hair fell out and their skin turned red.
Yeah, right, and they died
a horrible sickness.
Right.
And the army was so burned, even the elephants were shadows on the ground. And that was Hiroshima, before Hiroshima, mm-hmm. you know. So it did happen before.
Have any Native American peoples been the victim of an abduction?
Well, we don't get abducted. You know, again, that I don't believe in the abduction things. I think that is a holographic NSA script, a post-hypnotic subliminal script. We get visited. Whoever gets abducted, that's another alien agenda pushed by the mainstream media. I don't believe in abductions. When he talks about the hologram, have you seen recently, there was a news clip that came out of China where they created a holographic oasis city right on the Denje River?
No, I haven't seen that, no.
Well, it's a clip of, they have the ability to create an oasis city. It's a completely holographic. I mean, it's fascinating. You can see the whole city. It's a mm-hmm. huge city right on top of a lake, and it's all holographic. So that's exactly something they're able to do. I think the technology is so far beyond what people understand that...
Oh, absolutely. You know, the United States government has been accused of hiding technology now since World War II, and supposedly some of the technology that we have could cure most of the diseases that are around today.
Well, that's true. I mean, you can cure cancer by drinking baking soda. You know?
Uh-huh.
It's a fungus. Cancer is a fungus. And there's a doctor from Italy or from South, I think he's Italian, and he clearly shows what drinking baking soda, a half a teaspoon, will just get rid of the fungus, because that's how come they say it splits your cells. Well, it's really a fungus that just continues to grow. And what it does is it strangles the cell, the life of the cell.
Hmm.
Fungus is a big problem. That's why they're using it in the chemtrails, black mold and fungus, you know.
Oh, yeah, a lot of people have accused the government of that. Some say that ant people were from inside the earth. Are you familiar with these ant people? I mean, there's pictures of them that are ancient. They've been carved into stone and painted on cave walls and things. Did the indigenous people know anything about ant people?
I've never interviewed anybody about ant people, and I guess that's one subject I haven't investigated
uh-huh.
too much. You know, I mean, I've heard quite a bit about the reptilian race, which is David Icke and all that is complete agent, British agent is what
mm-hmm.
he is. Because the reptilian, again, is the Kundalini. The reptilian represents the activation of the seven rays of consciousness up to the pineal gland. And so they take that ability and then they put it into a being, and then they create fear and panic around that. I mean, there's nothing more absurd than some of the stuff that David Icke comes up with, because he's an agent. So they disseminate the fear and the misinformation, and then they use these cryptic esoteric terms, reverse them. That's what they do. They reverse it. Like the 666, okay? Well, that's a sacred indigenous number, 999. That's the serpent power. That's what it means, the power of the serpent,
mm-hmm.
of the activation of consciousness through the spine up into the pineal system. That is what we need to be doing now in order to enter that next world. We have to be activated in those systems.
I'd like to ask you about a story that has been popular now for maybe, I guess about 100 years. And the story says that Cleopatra's, some of her personnel, when Cleopatra killed herself, came to the New World. I think they went to Death Valley, and that mummies and different artifacts were found in a cave in Death Valley that indicated the Egyptians had come here. Have any of the native people ever talked about that?
Well, actually, they discovered Egyptian hieroglyphics and all sorts of things in the Grand Canyon.
Yeah, well, that's really what I'm talking about, the Grand Canyon,
yeah.
Death Valley.
Yeah, and the Grand Canyon. I've been doing some research recently into that. I don't have a lot of information or knowledge exactly, except for there were, for instance, there's a cave in one of the pueblos here which has inscriptions of what they call the Ten Commandments. In Hebrew, in the old language that they say Jesus spoke Aramaic.
Mm-hmm.
And so the fact is that, yes, indigenous people are seafaring people, you know? And that's another part of the history that they don't want people to know, is that those tribes were here from Egypt. They came here a long, long time ago.
Uh-huh.
And there is a man who wrote a book called When Nations Gather, and he was a Abdul Sultan Latif. He was Islamic, Cherokee, and became an Muslim. And he really investigated that, and he passed away, unfortunately, but he knew more about that presence, the Arabic presence. But, of course, that's why Cherokee wore turbans.
Uh-huh. I
were
didn't
identified.
Know that. Yeah,
on the Trail of Tears, you see all the men wore turbans.
Well, I didn't know they called them turbans. I thought, you know, they were part of some kind of headdress.
Well, they're actually Arabic head forms that the men wore.
Oh, I didn't know that. Yeah.
That's because our language is Sumerian.
Uh-huh.
So if you think about that, you know, then you know for sure we were here before Columbus, who actually was paid by the Vatican to come here.
We have a lot of sightings that have been made over the years of UFOs, and I was wondering, there's probably a lot of sightings that most of us don't know about that were made by Native Americans. Could you tell us about some of them?
Oh, can you say that again?
There's been a lot of sightings of UFOs that have been spoken about generally. But I always thought that there would probably be a lot of sightings that were made by Native Americans that we never knew about. And I was wondering if you know about any of them.
Well, I don't know about sightings, but there's visitation. I mean, you know, I think if you listen to some of Clifford Mahuti's information, he's a Zuni elder who's got quite a few films on YouTube. And we were just on that History Channel show together. Mm-hmm. He will tell you that the star beings come into the kiva and do the ceremonies with in the ancient, in the old ways. That is what happens. That is who the Kachina people are. I'm not initiated, and you know there are certain things. You know, I can pass on information that was passed to me, but there's certain things like Kachinas I won't talk about because. Now, you might want to interview him.
Mm-hmm.
Would be a great guy to interview because he could really explain to you the relationship of those people, mm-hmm. the Zuni, the Hopi, regarding the Kachinas and the ceremonies and the visitation. It's not sightings. It's actual participation.
Right.
Mutual participation. And you know, I can give you his phone number later if
oh,
you
thank
want.
You. Yeah, sure, thanks.
Yeah, yeah, you might call him because mm-hmm. I think he'd be, you know, if he's up for being interviewed.
Do you think that the U.S. government has been in contact with extraterrestrials?
Oh, yeah, they were told by the extraterrestrial. They have had contact. I don't believe that they are, you know, like, for instance, you look at the Dulce thing.
Right.
Okay, that was a complete scam. What really happened there was a shootout between the FBI and the CIA because it was a weapons cache. And not only that, they thought it was the weapons cache, but that's where they were making all the biological black market weapons for Saddam Hussein, all in that thing. And so what do? They use that whole Dulce story that there was a shootout and Phil Snyder got opened up by a
yeah,
you know,
right, right.
Late, you know.
Yeah.
That's not what happened. Okay, they were making, that's what they do. That's why how they fund their black projects through cocaine and the drug. I mean,
what do you think happened to Phil Schneider? I mean, they discovered him hung by barbed wire, I believe, in his room.
I have a friend who made a movie about him, a Pueblo guy, actually. It's called, I have to think about, that's an interesting video. I think he died from cancer and they set that whole thing up. He was part of the think tank in Washington. Uh-huh. And he pushed that alien shootout and all that. Now, I very much had to edit the chapter I did on him to take out all that stuff because I think it's all a lie. They were making biological weapons.
Uh-huh.
They didn't have the authority from Congress to continue with some of the stuff that they were making. And so they did it on Indian reservations. There's certain laws. They're doing a lot of stuff. They're running a lot of stuff through Indian reservations. Weapons.
In other words, they're saying that they're not on U.S. property anymore.
Exactly. The laws are different.
Yeah, right. I got you.
And so when the FBI got whiff of it, they went there because they thought there was a weapons cache, and the CIA was there because they're involved in all that dirty business, and they had a shootout. That's what happened. And then I got to sit here and listen to all these idiots talking about, you know, aliens, grays.
Mm-hmm.
I never.
Well, what do you think of the story that says that President Eisenhower was contacted by Nordic extraterrestrials, and they offered to help us spiritually if we would get rid of our nuclear weapons. Do you believe that's true?
Well, that isn't the story, though, because the story they put out is that if they allowed them to abduct certain people.
Well, that was the Greys, supposedly. They came in afterwards, but the original story was that he was contacted first by the Nordics, refused to get rid of the weapons, and then he was contacted by the Greys, who supposedly...
Yeah, well, and that's why I don't believe the whole story.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. I have this interesting memo which lists President Dwight Eisenhower with Adolf Hitler and Mussolini and Rothschild as a saint. And it comes out of the Vatican. It's a document. And so when I saw Dwight Eisenhower's name on it, no, I don't think he was playing with the full deck. See, that's the real dilemma of trying to get out the true information about these highly evolved beings that we will have contact with directly in the next world, because they will assist us like they always have. We've moved through worlds, and through those worlds we have been assisted to build the next world in hope that the evolution of the species would occur, that we would be upgraded in our capabilities and our knowledge and our wisdom. And what drags the UFO, I mean, you can believe about, I think, 5% of, I just stopped going to those conferences because they were so full of government agents.
Mm-hmm.
You can believe about 5% of what you hear at those conferences.
Well, they've all got to be kind of silly. I have to tell you the truth.
They're terrible.
They mix in ghost stories, and I mean, you know, it's not really a UFO conference anymore.
No, it's not, and that's why I didn't like Roswell, because it was a big cartoon. You know,
yeah,
you go down
yeah.
there and you see all that crap. That's just total government stuff, and you know, it's junk mail.
But why do you think that mounds were used by the mound builders? Because a lot of them weren't graves. I don't know what purpose they would serve. Maybe you could enlighten us if you know.
Well, again, I was telling you about the activation. I mean, the mounds have principal encrypted cosmic genetic codes in them, okay, and they were also created. They were part of a living place, you know.
Oh, were they?
Yeah, they were part of the community. They were created for a particular reason.
Oh, but they weren't habitation, right?
No, they weren't. They were part of habitation, but they were not habitation, but they were in veneration of a technology and a consciousness. And they were used to harness particular energies. Do you know what I'm saying?
I think I understand what you're saying, but how would they be, if you know, how would they harness energy?
Well, I was telling you about the ceremonies.
Oh, you mean with the column of the wave? Is that what you mean?
The columnar wave, for one, that was used.
Well, let me ask you about the Serpent Mound in Ohio.
And that in particular of the snake and then the egg.
Right.
It's in the snake's mouth.
That's right.
And you can see how that same thing is used almost like Acadius is used, like it's medicine.
Uh-huh.
There are certain attributes to that mound that not only some of the things they've discovered in the soil, you know, mm-hmm. that's attributed to a mineral that is not here, but also there's a resonance within a monolithic site that is a communication and a portal. I mean, I guess that's the way you could really say that it becomes a portal where the teachings are super conscious, are held, and then they are activated by the community.
Do you think that any of these mounds might contain, say, a craft like a UFO inside of them?
I don't think so. I can't really say for sure, but you don't need a craft. Okay? We don't. The extraterrestrials or the avatars, I prefer to call them, it's hard to find a word that really does accurately describe them. The elder, the master, the space masters, they have mastered time and space, and that is what we are going to be doing. We are gods as well, who have in the past mastered time and space, but then we lost that ability, went dormant, and now it's being reactivated.
Mm-hmm.
And so they don't need a craft to come here. They can disassemble their molecular structure and pass through, you know, a Faraday cage, practically.
So you know, in other words, you're saying it's like Stargate.
They only put it on to protect themselves. They don't need a craft to come here.
Right.
They use it for protection. Because every single craft, and if you listen to the guys from the Disclosure Project, they'll tell you that they were never shot at first. We always shot first. That's what our military mm-hmm. does. We shoot first. And
that's
they
right.
brought a lot of craft down for the technology. And I wouldn't be surprised at all if they, you know, that Saddam Hussein said he was the reincarnation of Nebuchadnezzar, and he guarded the technologies. I interviewed Jim Mars, and that were underground in underground caverns. There's a whole cavern system all throughout this planet that goes underneath the deep underground military bases. It's below them, and those cavern systems house many, many things: vehicles, people, animals that were extinct or that went in there for protection. And so they are all coming out in this next world. And so they don't need a craft to come to be here.
Our religious differences have caused many wars in this world. Have differences in religious beliefs ever sparked wars between Native Americans?
You mean amongst themselves?
Yes.
Well, yeah, since the pushing of these charismatic religions has created a lot of problems. Because if you look at the Hopi Tribal Council, they're all Mormons now. The Zuni Tribal Council is Mormons. Even Cherokee, you know, Baptists and Mormons. That was the procedure and the process that they used to take the Indian out of the Indian.
Mm-hmm.
That's why all the kids went to these boarding schools that were run by priests and nuns.
Well, I was thinking more about the tribes themselves before the white man got here, if they ever had wars over religious differences. Because I know the Cherokee, for example, believed in one God, am I right? But some of the other tribes didn't.
Well, I wouldn't say they believed in one God. I'm not sure what you mean by that.
I don't know how else to put it.
You know, because that word God, I mean, there were clan systems, different seven clans, and then there was the, what you would call religion, or the Indian religion based upon the knowledge from the Pleiades. Mm-hmm. The same with the Aboriginal. I knew some Aboriginal grandmothers who were in their 70s, and they were walking on a walkabout for 7 months. I was asked to document it, but unfortunately, I pulled my leg out the day before I was getting on the plane.
That's too bad.
To release the information from the Pleiadian star system. So there are teachings from star system, and each race has its star system of origination for these tribal people.
What do you think is the biggest difference in the way that non-Native Americans think about UFOs and the way Native Americans do?
Well, I think it's that whole abduction visitation, you know. And then, of course, they're our ancestors. We're related to them, you know. They are part of all things. All peoples are related. And that means that they are also related, just like we are related to all of the creatures and all of the planetary systems, you know?
Mm-hmm. Is there anything that you'd like to add about what we've talked about today?
I think I've said a lot. I don't know. Here's a quote from a Cherokee elder that gave me this. As a Salaji, which is really the name for Cherokee, I am only here due to the visitation of those from the Pleiades and those called the Stinkards. This is before the creation stories. So if you look at that, the Stinkards are the ones that were created, that we created. We are the progenitors of the elite. We created them.
Mm.
And that's why they have six-strand DNA.
Uh-huh.
And that's why they maintain their bloodline, because they're all related within that bloodline that was created by us. We are their progenitors, and that's why they're killing the people who have the knowledge of that. So when people talk about cloning and genetic cloning, you know who was genetically cloned? This ruling race. The reason they can't go into the next world is they have a spirit but no soul. That's why the ceremonies out of the Bohemian Grove, if you've ever seen any of that, they completely have no power, none. They are mimicking everything they do, all their rituals and all their numbers and everything, they mimic from the original mysteries. And I really don't know, I really can't remember how they ascended into power, but it is now, that power is being handed back to those people who of a higher consciousness, and it literally do have a higher consciousness.
Well, I want to thank you very much. This has been a very interesting interview.
And I'll give you one thing: is we call the space masters in Cherokee the Nunihi. Nunihi, they're the travelers, the space masters. The Markavian are the space masters, those who from another world came. So it's all in the language.
Right.
That's why it's so important for us to maintain. We're losing the language. That's one of the things they've done through the schooling system, is to try to take away the language from Indian people.
Mm.
And all of those teachings are in the language. You know, they're not in English.
Right. I understand.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much. I really enjoyed this.
Thank
you. Actually, it went into some very provocative, evocative areas.
Well, we try and make it interesting, you know.
And again, my website is nancyredstar.com, and my YouTube site, you can make access just by clicking on trailer at the top of the film strip.
Okay, great. And maybe someday in the future I'll contact you again.